Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for business women who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. You know, I haven't kept many possessions from my childhood, a few things, but not many really. How about you? Are you one that kind of saves things and keeps things? I mean, I have a few things, some important things. I do have a hope chest and some treasure boxes, I guess I would say, of pictures and mementos and such, but I haven't kept a whole lot. I know maybe you're one who does. You treasure things, which is great, great memories. You know, one thing I have kept is a souvenir baseball I got when our family went to a Cleveland Indians baseball game. That was and still is our favorite team, and once or twice a summer, our parents would take us to a game. It just so happened that at this one particular game, they were giving out free baseballs to all the kids. My brothers and I were so excited to get ours that day. I was probably about 9 years old at the time, and I had never had my own professional baseball. It was a big deal. My plan was that I would keep it clean and shiny white so that maybe I could somehow get the autographs of the Cleveland baseball players on my ball. You know, the way I'd seen other kids get. They had autographs of the players on their baseballs, and they looked so cool. That was my plan. The only problem with that plan was that I knew my dad would not take me to go get player autographs. Not because my dad was mean, quite to the contrary, but because he just wasn't a fan of anything that smacked of braggadocia, a big-headedness. And asking for an autograph fell into that category. Dad would say it was right to recognize someone's great talent and hard work with cheers and applause and kind words, but to put someone on a pedestal was just not my dad's way. So there I was with this clean, white, shiny new baseball, but no autographs. That was until I decided that I would write the names of the players on the ball myself. So we got home from the game, and I got my green marker, and I wrote in my best fourth grade handwriting the names of the Indians' starting lineup in 1967. Then, for good measure, I took my pink marker and added little flowers next to each name. Voila! I had an autographed baseball, and I did it myself. I remember it made my dad laugh when he saw what I did. I also remember his message was that no one person is greater than another person. Their talents may be different, their work ethic may be different, but no one person is greater because God created each of us in His image. You know, I still have that baseball. It sits in my office in my bookcase. And it stands as a visual reminder to not put others on a pedestal and to not put myself on one either. To remember that every one of us matters. God made each of us. We were His idea, His best idea. Remember when He got finished in Genesis creating man and woman, He said it was good and very good. We were His best idea. And He loves us all the same. Yet that is a truth that is easy to forget when times are difficult, when we've been rejected, overlooked, when we've messed up. We fear we aren't good enough, smart enough, talented enough, pretty enough, rich enough. We don't run in the right crowd or drive the right car or have the right job title. So how could we really matter? How could we really matter? Because God said we do. Matthew 10:29, we read Jesus saying, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Indeed, indeed, we matter. We are His best idea. We have significance to God. You know, Max Lucado in his book Fearless, on this very same topic, wrote this: "Fear of insignificance creates the result it dreads, arrives at the destination it tries to avoid, facilitates the scenario it disdains. If a basketball player stands at the foul line repeating, "I'll never make the shot, I'll never make the shot," guess what? He'll never make the shot. If you pass your days mumbling, "I'll never make a difference, I'm not worth anything," guess what? You will be sentencing yourself to a life of gloom without parole. Even more, he goes on to write, you are disagreeing with God, questioning his judgment, second-guessing his taste. According to God, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. In Psalm 139, he writes, he can't stop thinking about you. If you could count his thoughts of you, Psalm 139 says they would be more in number than the sand. So why does God love you so much? The same reason the artist loves his paintings or the boat builder loves his vessels. You are his idea. And God only has good ideas. Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You're his idea, his masterpiece. And God only has the best ideas. What a beautiful, kind, sweet truth to fix our minds on today. You matter because you are God's best idea. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you receive the message from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Times, just email me, Beth, at spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you so much, and God bless.